And we begin this morning also on the education front. Teachers and school administrators who make more than $100,000 a year will have their names and incomes made public thanks to a recent court ruling. The Court of Appeal has overturned a Supreme Court ruling that prevented the income of teachers from being included on the so-called Sunshine List. Dean Ingram is the president of the NLTA, joins us live in studio. Good morning, Dean.
And good morning to you.
Why specifically did you want to keep the teachers' names and salaries off the list?
Well, our association teachers certainly have no issue with the concept of salaries and positions attached to that, but the issue is the individual name is certainly problematic for us. In fact, in your program earlier this week, you actually, in one of your open line con shows, there was certainly some discussion about whether a name was actually needed and how it would possibly serve the public good in terms of having those names public. So that end, when the act was initially released, we certainly issued a court challenge on that. And our position was that while positions and salaries were fair game, but the individual name was certainly not. The original trial judge did actually agree with our position. Subsequent to that, it was actually appealed by the provincial government, and the latest ruling in a 2-1 decision indicated that the appeal of the government was upheld, and that's where things are too.
What specifically would be different about teachers versus other public servants whose names haven't been included on the list?
Well, I think in your open line show, I mean, one of the things you allude to is there's a possible conversation that could happen between parents and teachers in terms of exactly how that conversation would go. We know that teachers are held in the public trust, but again, is this thing, at what purpose does the name actually, and I'd say for teachers, but I'd also even extend that to any of the actual names of the person, we fail to see how the name is actually relevant. There's a certain degree of privacy, a certain degree of things that need to be maintained. The position and salaries attached to those positions, no, that's not a concern. Yes, the public should have access to that. But the individual names for certain individuals, specific individuals in certain isolated situations, rural communities, that could be very problematic for some of our members.
You think parents are going to use it as ammunition when they have a problem or an issue with the teacher?
I don't know if I could say they will do, but I certainly think there's a potential for them to do it. And that's really where the concern lies. And to that end, Justice Welch, in her dissent, wrote a very strong dissent, actually contrary to the majority decision. And at this point in time, we're certainly reviewing the contents of the ruling and certainly taking a close eye to Justice Welch's dissent and exploring possible further options.
How many of your members will appear on the Sunshine List given this Court of Appeal ruling?
Well, you had to understand that this ruling was not necessarily about the Sunshine List. The ruling actually referenced ATIP specifically. The Sunshine List referenced our members that were over $100,000 in income. Now, some of our members, yes, absolutely met that threshold. But certainly a significant more of a member, all of our members, would be subject to an ATIP request based on the latest court ruling. And that's really where a lot of our concerns lie, not just for those actually above the Public Transparency Act and 100,000 threshold there, but the ATIP request that could be issued for every member, every teacher, every public servant, regardless of income.
Why shouldn't the public get to know who's working for us and how much they make?
Well, I think the issue with the what they make, the position attached, that certainly that's not it. But in terms of the actual who, I guess the question is, to what end does it serve other than a bonus? Voyeurism.
I'll admit, I'm of two minds on it, but when it came out, I got a ruler. I went down through the list like I imagine most people did. So are your members as concerned as you are? Because I've spoken to a couple of them, and administrators in particular, who they know they're going to appear on this list. They are kind of shrugging it off as if they just fall into the same envelope that the rest of the public servants have. But what feedback are you getting?
Well, again, there are some members that are not concerned, but depending on their personal situation. But I did hear from one member who was existing in a rural setting, where in this isolated community, she was very concerned that all of a sudden, because in this particular community, she was one of the few people that was actually working in the community, and all of a sudden, where she was receiving requests from individuals in the community to provide loans, provide support, and this and that, that was there before. Having that blatant income statement right there in front, that person became quite concerned. And what I suggest that is an extraordinary large problem for every one of our members. No, but I would suggest that it's certainly a very significant problem for enough of our members that we're concerned.
Understood. While we have you here this morning, of course, the headlines all captured the incident at PwC. Yeah. Teachers are trained to deliver the curriculum, not to necessarily be experts in behavioral management and to deal with these levels of violence. What is the level of training that teachers have? What do they need? Because we know that this is not a one-off. This is not the only fight or anything that's happened in a high school throughout the year. This is more common than people want to believe. How do the teachers react, and how are they trained to deal with this?
Well, first of all, I think what we're seeing in the schools now is a symptom of a societal problem. We know that violence in society, violence in schools, is certainly increasing over the years. These are certainly things that are undeniable. The school system has got challenges now that it did not have 10, 15 years ago. We know in the past couple of years there's been a significant attention paid to student mental health, youth mental health issues. And these are all things that are adding and complicating the problem. But I do want to say, first and foremost, obviously, our initial concern, our foremost concern right now is for the health and well-being of those students that were affected. And we certainly hope that they make a full and complete recovery. We know that there is an investigation ongoing. We certainly think that that's a procedure that has to play. I do notice, understand that Mr. Stack made some commentary yesterday about looking at revision possible procedures and policies. I think if there are things that can be done to make our school system better for all concerned, that's certainly a good thing. We'd encourage the school districts that when they revise policy and procedures, certainly take into account the viewpoints of the professional educator, that being the teacher, of course, in making those decisions. But I think one thing that I would have to draw attention to is that we know that these student mental health issues are certainly there. We know that as well that the allocation of supports within the schools are not adequate to do that. In fact, if you go back on two fronts, we can look back to 2008 and compare the administrative allocation in schools in 2008 compared to what they are now. There was significant change made to that in 2016. And the loss of administrative units has certainly complicated and tamped down the ability of school administrators to address those administrative concerns and be proactive in that. We know in the student mental health issue, we know that within our school system, the allocation of school counselors and school psychologists and system at large is certainly not sufficient. In fact, in this province, the allocation is approximately one-half of the it is one-half the national standard. National standard, we have an allocation of one school counselor for every 250 students. In this province, it's one on 500. On the school psychologist ratio, it's a similar dynamic. In this province, they operate on a 1 in 1,000 allocation for school psychologists, where the national standards is a 1 in 500. And these are all things that have added to actually bring these things to ahead. I think there's lots of things that could be done. The most important thing is if schools have the supports to actually be proactive in these measures, I think the chance of actually staving off incidents such as what happened at PwC this week could be schools could be better prepared to do exactly that.
We want a safe environment for our children. We want them to learn and have really well-trained professionals delivering the school work and curriculum, but safety is a massive concern. I know you share that sentiment. Dean, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Dean Ingram is the president of the Newfoundland Labrador Teachers Association. It's 7:37. Let's go back to Greg Smith.